Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Roman Show on this Thursday evening. And we have a stacked lineup for you tonight as we welcome in Invicta FC champion Carla Esparza. We also welcome UFC fighter Mike Rio, who fights next weekend, CFA fighters Oscar Delgado and Alexis Villa, who is also a Bellator veteran. And lastly, Reggie Penna, who fights on the XFC card later on next month. With that being said, it's time to start the show. Follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show and tweet throughout the evening here in the show. And make sure you like us on our fan page. That's facebook.com/Roman Show Media. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to another edition of The Roman Show with your host, Rodolfo Roman. Now, Mikey Ruckus, bring down hellfire and brimstone.
I consider the beast, I consider the pound. He considers the people when he considers the crowd. Ain't nothing to it, cause we all go through it. It's the start of The Roman Show, let's go through it. Come on, we pop shots as you lick at your chops. So straight to the top, the moment that the solar will drop.
Yeah, yeah.
Time to lock and time to the knock. We got the industry crossover, like it or not.
Keep rocking.
You haven't been all, you haven't been heard. From Miami up to Detroit, 3 1/3. East Coast, West Coast, yeah, we going to curve. With a red carpet news break, shocking the world. Come on, rise, come and join the Roman Show. Coming back to attack the world.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's May 9th edition of The Roman Show as we talk to mixed martial arts this evening. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. You can follow me personally, Rodolfo Roman, at Roman DH. Tweet throughout the evening. We want to hear from you guys as far as your thoughts on our show this evening here in the show. And I want to give a quick shout out here to Simply Jay. Thank you so very much for your support. And if you guys need any video production or graphics for your website or for whatever it may be, your posters, you got to reach out to Simply J. SimplyJ.com. That's the website you need to visit, SimplyJ.com. And trust me, send them that. Roman sent you. He'll hook you up with a great deal. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's move on here on the show. We're going to welcome in our first guest, Carla Esparza. She is the Invicta FC strawweight champion. Welcome again to The Roman Show, Carla. How are you?
Hey, it's good to be on again. I'm doing good.
Awesome. Thank you. Sorry there for a little wait. My apologies. I just had to get some coffee. And, you know, I got to do the coffee and the show. It's just it's kind of like an addiction almost. It's not a bad addiction. Coffee.
Yeah. Most people seem to have a coffee addiction. I have never, like, really been into it. But, yeah, I definitely see people always drinking coffee.
Are you a tea person?
No, I kind of try to stay away from caffeine. I don't know
no
why. Never been my thing. Maybe an energy drink here and there, like a Red Bull, but that's about it.
Now, how often do you drink those Red Bulls? Because I know prior to the fight, or you can't have such a thing.
Nah, just like when I'm going out, or I'm like dead tired, and you know, got something that has to be done. But pretty much for the most part, I don't really drink caffeine.
You keep it natural, Carla. Well, Carla, you got a great matchup coming up. You're defending your title here for the first time against Ayaka Hamasaki. She is 9-0. The event takes place July 13th in Invicta FC show. You can find out more information on InvictaFC.com. Carla, you're defending this title here for the first time against a woman who is undefeated. You yourself have a very respectable record, 9-2. Only your loss is coming to Megumi Fuji and Jessica Aguilar, two women who are at the top of the line as well. Tell me a little bit about Ayaka. She is also a champion, the Jewels lightweight champion, queen champion. So we technically have a champion versus champion here.
Yeah, so, like, in my opinion, this is going to be, you know, the number one strawweight in the world. You know, it's the best in, the best from Jewels fighting the best from Invicta. I mean, I think it's awesome to have, like, a cross-promotion champion versus champion. I think it's a really positive thing.
And now, knowing that Ayaka is undefeated and she mostly has fought overseas, looking at her record, she has one knockout, four submissions, and four decisions, so she obviously loves her submissions. But you yourself, you're a top-notch wrestler here. So how are you preparing for this fight coming in July 13th?
You know, with her, she obviously has her judo background, and, you know, I obviously she likes to get on the ground, so I definitely want to be prepared down there for anything that might happen, you know, if I'm in a bad position or this or that. And if I'm in a good position, I want to be prepared to finish it. I want to make a statement in this fight.
Knowing that she has that background of judo and knowing they have their wrestling here, how do you counter that? You know, knowing that judo is a very, when it comes to transitions, judo is very effective.
Yeah, it's effective, but, you know, the same could be said about wrestling. So it's style versus style. You know, I'm going to just do my thing. I'm going to get a lot of wrestling work in. You know, that's the thing about wrestling. It also includes a lot of throws and trips. So, you know, it's kind of like judo, but with double legs and single legs included, you know.
Have you been working anyone in particular for this fight that's setting you up or that simulates Ayaka?
You know, I'm just working on my same camp. I've never strayed from my gym for any fight camps. I'm happy with what I have at home, you know. No need to go elsewhere. My coach, Colin Oyama, jiu-jitsu instructor, Jiva Santana. I mean, that's pretty much all I need. And all my teammates, of course.
And Odai, you represent the wrestling well with that singlet. When you walk inside that cage, not many people wear any singlets to the cage. Is that just to show your gratification to wrestling and your background where you started this whole thing?
Yeah, you know, of course, I wanna represent where I came from, which is wrestling. That is my background, and you know, it's, like you said, it's something unique, it's something different. You know, so I like you know, having something that sets me aside a little bit and kind of looks cool, where I can represent my sponsors like Alienware and Americana really good, because you know, people take notice. They're like, oh wow, look at that cool outfit. You don't really see that a lot, you know.
And now knowing that you have that wrestling background, I know you've participated in several jiu-jitsu tournaments. Are you still active in that? And how often do you participate in these tournaments?
Honestly, it's been a while. I recently did Pan Am for the Gi, but that was just like a last minute, like I took it on a week's notice, you know, just for fun. I'd like to be more active in the tournaments. I think it's important. I just got my purple belt, so that'll be fun to kind of step it up to a higher level of competition when I jump into these tournaments. So, you know, hopefully right after my fight, I'm able to compete in a couple of tournaments, big tournaments like Worlds and stuff like that.
Now, I've seen some fighters that have taken place in these tournaments prior to a fight. Is that dangerous because you're putting your body in the line as far as injuries?
You might be talking about Ben Henderson, yeah?
Yeah, because I know some guys.
Yeah, he was actually, Ben Henderson was actually in the tournament when I was competing at Pan Am right before his last fight. You know, I definitely feel like you come out with some little injuries because, you know, of course you train hard when you spar and you roll, but I think it's different when you're going against someone else who wants to win at all costs. I mean, people are going to Pan Ams and Worlds, and that's all they do is train for jiu-jitsu. They're not doing it, you know, for something else. They're doing it for jiu-jitsu. So I think it's risky. You know, you go in there, your adrenaline is high. I think there's definitely more chances of getting hurt. That's not something I would personally do, is jump into a tournament around the time I had a fight, because, you know, fighting is my livelihood. I don't want to risk anything for that, you know?
Right, and not only physically, but mentally, that derails you from your focus of a fight, I would assume.
Yeah, you know, because when you're training one thing, it's just different than, you know, the fight. Like, jiu-jitsu, you don't throw punches, you can't do slams, you have a total different mindset when preparing for something like that. Or even in the gi, you know, that's totally different than what you would be doing in a fight, so, you know... Obviously, the mindset is a little bit different, and, you know, but to each his own.
Now, knowing, like I had mentioned earlier, that your only two losses came from Jessica Aguilar and Megumi Fuji, would you like to avenge those losses?
Definitely. I've been calling out Jessica Aguilar for a long time. You know, basically the week after we fought, you know, obviously it was a split decision, and, you know, the judges pick what they do, and it is what it is. But, you know, I feel like maybe that was a little premature to do a fight right away, but it's been, like, over 2 years now. I feel like I've come a long way. I've had a lot of wins, and, you know, I deserve that rematch, and I want to fight her. And we've been asking for it every chance we get. So, you know, the ball's in her court. If she wants to take it, she'll take it. If not, then not, you know, but we want it.
Now, Carla, I mean, for me, this is an exciting fight because both of you guys are world-class athletes. That would you like to see this fight, well, not to take anything away from Invicta FC, because Invicta FC is a great product, but knowing that a lot of girls are moving on to the UFC, would you like to see this fight particular in a UFC pay-per-view or a show?
You know, for me, like, I'm super happy with Invicta, and, you know, I'm happy just with whatever they're offering. Obviously, you know, more exposure and more opportunity would be great, you know, but as far as right now, yeah, I'm just happy with being with Invicta. And if something down the line comes, you know, offers a bigger opportunity, that would be great too.
Now, I understand you're good friends with Ashley Evans-Smith, and we've interviewed her several times here, and, you know, they still haven't released the information as far as the Ultimate Fighter show. There's been some rumors there, but I don't want to say anything about that. But she was part of the CFA tournament. Have you been working out with her, getting her ready for this tournament, if she is still taking part in this tournament?
No, not really. I mean, she has. We have different schools, different gyms. We're in the same area. We hang out. You know, she's one of my best friends. But I definitely wouldn't want to take credit away from any of her camp or her school, because, I mean, we'll train here and there, you know, but she's obviously a lot bigger than me. You know, I'm not a coach. I'm another fighter, and she's one of my friends. So if I ever have any advice, you know, like, she'll send me footage sometimes. I'll give my advice. But, you know, in the end, that's all her coaches and her teammates.
By any chance, will you be either watching the fight on TV when she fights or be here in South Florida personally to view it?
I would love to come out and support her fight, and I also love Florida, too, so that would be, like, you know, that would be
whammy.
Awesome to go out and support her. Yeah, Miami. I love all of Florida, especially Miami. So if I could go out and watch, that would be amazing. I've been to a lot of her fights, like in Vegas and in SoCal, so it'd be good to go and be there and support her for sure.
Now, I'd like to get to your opinion because, as you know, Fallon Fox is part of that card. Were you, did she came up to you and had a little conversation between you guys, you and Ashley, about this whole thing?
Oh, has she talked to me? No. One time I posted on her fan page, I commented on something, and, you know, she gave me the respect of, you know, responding to me and, you know, just aired out her opinion, and I gave her mine, and, you know, we definitely have a different of opinion, I would say, but, you know, she's never disrespected me, so as a person, I have no beef with her. I mean, I'd agree with what she's doing, or not even what she's doing, what people are allowing to go on, because, I mean, if they're going to let her fight, you know, if she has an opportunity, obviously she's taking it, you know, props to her. But do I think it's right? No, I still do not.
Now, you were, I'm sure you were at the Last Invictus show, and there were some reports coming in with Beck Hyatt in the locker room that took place. Were you aware of the whole situation that happened there, that apparently Fox threatened Beck Hyatt? Were you aware of that by any chance?
And I heard about it after the fact, and she was hanging around. She was actually there for the last two Invictus. She flew out to try and, I guess, convince Invicta to bring her in and this and that, which, you know, like I said, her trying to hustle, do her thing, whatever, you know. But obviously, this last time, it caused a little commotion on not only on that situation, but even before that, I'd heard a little something going on with her, just, you know, trying to make her presence known and this and that. That's just all hearsay, though, you know, because I didn't see anything personally. But, it just seems like a bunch of drama to me, and I usually try and stay out of that stuff.
I hear you. So this is not the first thing. That's interesting you mentioned that, because when she came out and mentioned she's a transgender athlete, no one was aware about her, and no one really knew about her. But it's funny you mentioned that this wasn't the first Invicta FC show that she attended. She had been there prior to that.
Yeah, she had. I guess she was trying to talk to, you know, the head of Invicta, Shannon and Janet, about the situation, about explaining to them her situation and trying to get into Invicta. And I don't blame her, because Invicta is probably the best promotion as a woman that you can be in right now. So, you know, she was trying to do her thing and get in there, but, you know, obviously at this point, that has not happened yet, and to my relief, I'm glad that it hasn't. But yeah, she's been kind of, you know, kind of getting in there and trying to, you know, work her way into, like, all sorts of things. And, you know, she's definitely getting her name out there and, you know, doing her thing, I guess.
Now, you know, you have Ronda Rousey, you have Miesha Tate. These are beautiful women. They go out there, they show some skin, and you know, men like it, and people like it, right? It's good publicity for a woman's MMA. Do you see Fox also as a positive, since even though she's a trans athlete, but is still giving some exposure to women?
No, I'm sorry, no. You know, exposure is exposure, some people could say, but, you know, let's say like when, you know, some high-profile girls don't make weight on a big card. Yeah, everyone's talking about it. That doesn't mean it's good. Women's MMA is still a growing sport, you know, and to have these things, I think it just chops down the sport and gives it less respect. And, you know, we're still trying to gain respect amongst fans and, you know, the growing audience. So, you know, to have something like this, it's just like, come on, you know, which is not her fault, because, you know, she just wants to fight, you know, which I understand. But do I think that in general it's positive for the sport? No. Exposure, no, I don't think it's good for the sport of women's MMA.
And you're just saying in particular for women's MMA, not general, in general MMA.
Yeah, I think it takes more of a hit on women's MMA, because people are like, oh, see, look at how this is and blah, blah, blah. Look at another problem with women. Oh, they're not making weight. Oh, they're not doing this. Oh, they're showing, like, you know, everyone wants, is quick to point their finger at women's MMA because it's barely starting to come up. So I think something like this, you know, it definitely focuses it on women's MMA, pointing the finger.
So would you, as a fighter, and heck, even as a fan, would you have a separate division for trans athlete, or just not have them fight at all against other women, or vice versa? I'm not just talking about trans athletes who were men and women, and vice versa, women who become men.
That's kind of a hard situation, because in reality, if that was someone tried to make that happen, let's be honest, there wouldn't be a lot of fights. And, you know, how many, you know, I don't even know the statistics of how many transgenders with, you know, there are in the U.S., but, you know, the ones that actually want to do MMA and the ones that actually want to do it as a career, I mean, let's be honest, making a league really isn't realistic. You know, I would love to say in a perfect world, oh, yeah, well, you know, you choose to live this lifestyle and, oh, I would love for you to have your own league and have your own fights, and that would be fair. Like, yeah, that's something that I would want, but I don't think it's realistic either. It's a long time to, you know, something like that being a reality.
Now, will you be watching that fight as a fan, out of curiosity, or you just won't be watching the fight? Because there's a lot of fans that say, hey, you know, I'm not going to watch it. I don't believe in the decision that the commission has come up with allowing her to fight.
You know, honestly, that fight just is turning into a big sideshow, you know. But for me, I would watch the fight because that's a potential opponent for one of my best friends. And I have a personal stake in it. You know, I watch fights of anyone who's near my weight class. I love watching women's MMA in general. And in that fight, I would probably, if Ashley wasn't my friend, I would probably make it a point to not watch it. But, you know, given the situation, I might tune in for that just because I don't know how the tournament is. I heard Ashley's not in the tournament anymore, this or that, but you know, it's definitely a potential opponent for Ashley, and I'd like to keep an eye on her weight class.
Now, if her opponent, if Fox's opponent knocks her out or defeats her in any way, do you see it as a plus to saying, okay, now we got this out of the way, let's get serious, let's go talk about women's MMA now? Do you see it as a victory for women's MMA?
No, I don't know. It just seems like it would be a smart idea for her to do that just because it would take heat off of Fallon because people wouldn't be like, oh, see how you're running through everybody, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it, not that it would be good to take a dive, but it would probably make things easier on Fallon.
Gotcha. You know,
but yeah, at the same time, I don't think, you know, just because someone has an advantage doesn't mean they're unbeatable. So to me, that doesn't really say anything. You know, I've beaten people who, you know, who have been on steroids doesn't mean that they don't have an unfair advantage. Just means I'm better, you know? So I still think no matter what, there's an unfair advantage and, you know, but I definitely think that her losing that fight would, you know, make things less hostile for her.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people underestimate, you know, because I've seen both those girls fight, and her opponent, Lara Jones, does have knockout power. A lot of people are just underestimating that girl. I really think it's she has an opportunity of doing it. And like you said, you know, it doesn't matter how strong or if you're on steroids, anyone can have a bad day. Anyone. It doesn't matter. And you know what they say, the bigger you are, the harder they fall.
Yeah, it's whatever. I'm kind of over talking about Fallon. I mean, not really important to me. I think it's people have talked too much about it. You know, I just think she's gotten like way more attention than she deserves for this, and I'm just sick of talking about her, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll find out what happens when they have the fight, but you have a great important fight coming up, Carla. You're defending that title. Now, how have you, I know when you won, you had a, I think it was Felice Herring, rather, she approached you when you had a victory party afterwards. You guys clowned around a little bit?
After my victory party?
Yeah. There was a picture there.
Yeah, we're always having a good time whenever we hang out. She's one of my best friends in the world. So, you know, we're always joking around. I think that's why we get along so good. We just have a sense of humor and we, you know, we just like to have fun.
And, you know, and this is a good question here for you, and we haven't seen it yet because, you know, to this time, there's still not enough women mixed martial artists. But if there were to be a time, Carlo, that they put you to fight against another lady who is in your camp, say, for example, what happened with Evans and Jones, would you fight her or would you step away if there was gold on the line, of course?
What do you mean, someone in my camp?
If someone in your camp, the same weight class, or you used to train with, or you're really good friends with that girl, and there's the titles on the line, would you fight her?
I just have to see how the situation took place, you know. It just depends, honestly. It's really a hard choice to make, and it would, you know, I'd have to see all the opportunities and, you know, how long time it's for me to just jump and say like yes or no for that question.
Right, of course, it's too soon to call. But we have seen an increase as far as women getting into mixed martial arts. I think ever since the Victor UFC, it's boomed how many females are training for MMA. It's amazing.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying ever since the Victor UFC started, it's amazing how much women have started going into MMA camps and started training.
Yeah, I mean, the sport has been growing so much, and I think Invicta has a huge part in that, and it just really gives women a hope, a goal to aim towards. You know, it's the best promotion out there for women, and I think, you know, people work hard and start training even because they see this opportunity.
They do, and I'm sure that we're seeing girls starting at a very, very young age that one day they could be champions just like yourself, Carla. Carla, thank you so very much for taking some time and speaking to us. Anything else you'd like to add before we let you go?
No, just follow me on Twitter, Carla Esparza 1, or my Facebook, Carla Esparza. I have a new shirt coming out with Americana. It's a Respect the Singlet shirt. It's my signature shirt, so be sure to pick that one up.
Sweet, and where can they purchase it?
You can go to the Americana MMA website, and it'll be on there. It's cool. It has, like, a Respect the Singlet on there. It has a singlet on there, which is cool because that's kind of my thing, like we talked about. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Be sure to pick one up.
There you go. Represent. Carla, thank you so very much. Check her out in action in July 13. She faces Jules lightweight queen champion Ayaka Hamasaki. Is champion versus champion at Invicta. InvictaFC.com is the website to find out more information. Good luck, Carla. Thank you so very much again for joining us on the show.
Hey, bye. Good talking.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, you go, ladies and gentlemen. Carla Esparza, who fights Ayaka Hamasaki. You know that fight's going to be awesome. Carla 9-2, Hamasaki 9-0. It's going to be a great fight, guys. Champion versus champion. Two ladies going at it. And again, women athletes in mixed martial arts never disappoint. Take it from an expert like me. They never disappoint. I always love watching these ladies fight because they can kick some butt and they are always entertaining. Mark my word. Guys, want to give a special shout out there to Guillermo, who is not here. Why do I give him a shout out? Because unfortunately, he decided to go and participate in a trivia tournament. Now, how do you decide to go participate in a trivia show instead of talking about mixed martial arts? I have no idea. But it is what it is. Guys, want your business to grow using video? Contact Simply J Video right now. Research shows featuring video of your business brings awareness to customers. Let Simply J Video produce a video that will guarantee you more patron traffic. Simply J is dedicated to video production at an affordable rate. Call right now 786-369-0131 and press the number 2. Mention the Roman Show and get a $75 discount. Visit simplyjvideo.com for details. Simply J Video and Graphics is a company of Esk Pro Creative Group. Also, guys, when you are thirsty, whether you're working out or working outdoors, instead of drinking that same old water, tasteless water, grab some cocoa water. It's full of nutrients and full of good taste. That's cocoa water. Vita Coco, the best thing out there. Vita Coco, pick it up at your nearest grocery store, even at CVS and Walgreens, wherever you're located. Guys, for any past shows, make sure you visit our website, RodolphoRoman.com. And again, follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. Right after this break, I will mention who we will be having on The Roman Show YouTube channel. So make sure you stick to the show. We'll be right back.
Come around, feel the sound, oh, you make my heart. When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
This is Booker T, 5-time WCW champion. Make sure you guys keep listening to The Roman Show, and I know you can dig that.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Fall Out Boy there. God, I love that song. That song hypes you up. We're trying to get a hold of Oscar Delgado, who fights at TFA May 24th. Oh, 2 weeks from tomorrow, actually. It's going to be airing live on Access TV. By the way, we're going to give away free tickets to that show. Free tickets to that show. Absolutely free. When you walk inside the Bank United Center, where history will be made that night, take a picture of her banner. It'll be up there. Give us a shout out. You know, we got you in for free. You're gonna watch. You're gonna witness history that night. So tell you what you have to do is go on to our Facebook page, like it right now. Facebook.com/Roman Show Media. The first two likes, both of those people will be getting a pair of tickets each to go see the show live, May 24th. And if you haven't been to a mixed martial arts event ever in South Florida, you'll thank me later. Now, I put up a post earlier today that a major UFC champion is coming to the Roman Show. Familiar face, a good friend of ours. UFC champion, heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez will be on the Roman Show. In fact, we're meeting with him this weekend. And if you have a question for the big guy, and feel free to send it over via our Twitter account at The Roman Show, and we will ask that question while we film the interview. So that's this weekend, so make sure you don't waste any time and send it to us ASAP at The Roman Show or on our Facebook page, Roman Show Media. That's all I got to do. It's very easy, guys. And just about an hour or so after we go off the air, make sure you go on to YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel, RRoman0201. Very simple, RRoman0201. And once you head on over to the channel, you will see two interviews uploaded. Yesterday, we had the opportunity of interviewing the opponent of Cain Velasquez, Antonio Bigfoot Silva, an American top team, while he was training. Make sure you check that interview out. He has some neat things to say in regards to his rematch against the heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez. And we got a hold of Luis Babun Palomino, Miami's favorite. I really say that because he is. The guy is loved here in South Florida. And we spoke to him about regards to his last fight against Luis Buscape Firmino, which, mind you, he said that his training just wasn't up to par. And he blames that. He blames that change or transition in training. But the guy now is training an American top team with the likes of Nick Newell, who fights at XFC. He's a champion over there. And other guys like Glover Teixeira, Gleison Tibau, you know. So Palomino is definitely getting a run for his money there at American top team. So we might be seeing, no, we will be seeing, I'm pretty sure we will be seeing a different Luis Babun Palomino. Check out the interview on our YouTube channel. It will be posted a little later today. We're going to go to a quick break again. We're going to touch some MMA news. And we're trying to get a hold again of Oscar Delgado here in the show. Stay tuned as we'll be right back with more on The Roman Show.
Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Thanks. Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. The Roman Show has captivated the sports fans' attention in a fast pace. Therefore, join the Roman Show family by sponsoring us. Send us an email to RomanDH@Yahoo.com. Join this growing family as it grows quickly. Send us an email right now, RomanDH@Yahoo.com, and notice the exposure your company will get. Again, email us at RomanDH@Yahoo.com to sponsor the coolest and hippest program on the internet, The Roman Show.
This is Bjorn from Bellator Fighting Championships. Keep following Rodolfo Roman.
You are about to listen to The Roman Show,
the most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let The Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let The Roman Show begin. TBT action there with that opening. I haven't played that opening in years, but just wanted to bring it back since it is Throwback Thursday today. TBT, hashtag TBT on Twitter and social media overall. And well, now you're listening to The Heat Is On. Why? Well, because Miami Heat demolished the Chicago Bulls last night. To all you fanatics of anti-Heat fans, That's all I got to say. I don't even have to say anything because we whooped the living hell out of the Chicago Bulls. After all that smack they spoke, saying, oh, well, the heater's off and blah, 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 blah. We put the bench on you guys in the, I think, what, a couple of minutes right after the beginning of the fourth quarter. Pathetic. I love those people who hate in the Heat. Bring another championship here to Miami. That's all I'm saying. All right, we're going to bring in now Oscar Delgado, CFA fighter. He fights May 24th live on Axis TV. He was actually scheduled to fight Mike King.
Hello?
We just got word that Mike King got injured. Hello, Oscar.
Yes.
How are you, Oscar, man? Welcome so much again to the Roman Show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me and always having me, man. Appreciate that.
Awesome, Oscar. Oscar, now I was looking at the notes, and it turns out that you were scheduled to fight Mike King, but Mike King is no longer on the card, and we're seeing that you got Eddie Gordon. King got injured?
Yeah, Mike King, they called me last fight, and they told me that he got injured, and now I'm fighting Eddie Gordon, who's 5-1. So still going to be interesting, you know. I was getting ready for a little wrestling, for the, you know, Mike King's wrestling, but I always get ready for the fight, you know, not usually for a fighter, so it's good. It's good because it's a stand-up guy, so it'll be a better show.
After that fight you had with Byron Burr at the last show with that knockout, I've seen pictures everywhere of the guy sleeping on the floor and you on top, and I look at that thing and but I'm still like, wow, that was a nasty knockout.
Yeah, every day I see it in my head every day. It hasn't stopped. You know, it's big time for me. It's I think one of the best wins in my career right now, and I think it catapulted me to, you know, the next level. Hopefully after this fight, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Now you were also scheduled for a title shot, but that's not going to happen in this one.
No, it's not going to happen in this one. And this is my last fight of my multi-fight contract with CFA, so we'll see what happens next.
Now,
George did
would you
tell
like...
me that. Uh-huh. Sorry, that George told me for the July show, the next show, he'll make the title fight, but we'll see.
So this is the last fight. Now, how many fights were in that contract?
Five.
Five.
Yeah.
So this is the last one here. So you got this guy. Eddie Gordon is a big dude as well. And like you said, he is a stand-up guy. Last fight he lost, and he has three decisions and two knockouts, unlike your record, which all of them are knockouts.
Yes,
which is impressive.
Yeah.
So tell me about this
thing.
Dude. Is the heaviest? He's a little heavier type of guy. He looks as far as his framework, but.
Going into
that Mike King, and then you have to make that shift. How quickly are you adjusting to this guy?
Since he's a motor striker, and I've seen his fights, it's an easy switch. Like I told you, you know, I usually don't get ready for a fighter. You know, I get ready to fight because we're going to fight. So you got to prepare in every aspect of the fight. So I'm just going to do the same thing. I've been training the same way, you know, just. I'm a little more relieved, better that, you know, it's a stand-up guy, but it didn't make no difference to me. I go in there and to fight and do what I do. It doesn't matter who it is.
Now, do you prefer fighting the stand-up guys because you like to stand and bang, or are you looking forward to that Mike King because that wrestling kind of challenges you to another position?
I was looking forward to the fight with Mike King just because, you know, I don't know much about this guy, Eddie Gordon, but what I've heard about Mike King, he brings a little bit of hype. So, and, yeah, I like to be challenged, and every fight is a challenge, you know. So I'm expecting the same thing from this guy. They all want to stand until they get punched in the face. So we'll see what happens.
So what changes have you made here in this training camp? Anything different that you've done compared to your past?
Yeah, more wrestling. Yeah, focused a lot before because we were getting ready for my King. And my coach said that, you know, nobody's going to want to stand. So I'll have to prepare more for the ground, you know, to take down defense and sprawl and just scramble and get back up. Go to my moneymakers.
Now, speaking of which, since you do love the stand and bang, are we going to get a little taste there of the ground game from you?
If
test yourself
if it gets
to say,
to go,
put it into play?
The thing with me is like, if I have to put it into play, I'll pull the card out, but I'm not going to go away and just pull guard and get away from what I'm good at. But if I have to do it, definitely. Definitely. Like with the last fight with Byron Bird, I was going to submit him with a guillotine, but he locked one of my legs. So, that's when he was scrambling and he got knocked out. But I was going to submit him with a guillotine. So, Balverde has me more confident since I've been training at MMA Masters under Balverde and Cesar. So I'm more confident to, be more relaxed and to stand up. And if it goes down, I know what I have to do and get back to where I'm comfortable at.
And now, Oscar, looking at you, you're a busy guy and you still find time to train. I just had Robert Washington last week, and the guy has a hectic schedule. I have no idea how he does it. But you yourself also have a hectic schedule and manage to train. You work full time and you train to your upcoming fight. How do you manage to do that? Just the same question I asked to Robert Washington. Like yourself, you have a – it's hard, man. How do you do that? Pull it out.
Well, before the Byron Bird fight, I sold my construction company because I'm going to dedicate fully to just training, to just fighting. So I no longer have to worry about being at work, cutting, coming back and going. So I sold it before the Byron Bird fight. So now I'm a full-time fighter. But it was hectic before. That's one of the reasons that, sometimes, the Gandula fight, I had to drop 28 pounds in 4 days because I couldn't focus. That fight was the fight that changed my career, because after that fight, I started taking my training more serious and the weight cut a lot more serious. And as you can see, now I'm fighting at 185, and I started as a heavyweight. So it's gotten better and better. And now I know where I want to go, and that's why I did what I did with the company, so I can focus on what I love to do.
Now, how often do you train now? So you're full-time fighting.
The same thing. Yeah, I train twice a day, and I'm on my bike every day. So I don't drive around no more. I'm on my bike. I'm on my bike every day, so I love it. Get up, do what I have to do, train, come home, relax, and then go back to train. Spend time with my wife, so it's better nowadays. I like it.
So you bike everywhere. You don't drive when it comes to training or anything like that.
No. I drive to the gym. I bike to the gym. I bike to the beach. I bike everywhere.
So you're getting your cardio. You're getting your leg work out there at every opportunity that you have.
Yes. Yeah. Because I can't really run. I don't really detest it, but I still do it. But so I'm on the bike a lot because it gives you great legs. So that's what I do. That's a lot of bike. Everywhere I go, I go on my bike.
Now, you say you can't run because you have some injuries, or you just
Because I play basketball and baseball. I was a catcher. My knees, sometimes, when I run, it has to be on the beach. So I ride my bike to the beach, and I run 3 days out of the week. For this fight, I've been running 2 miles a day plus biking. So it's been pretty good.
Yeah, how is it that some fighters, and I just you mentioned that you have some, the knees are not 100%, but you managed to get in your cardio. How do you adjust to that? You said you do the beach thing, but are there other type of training that you do to make up for the fact that you can't be on a pavement and run 10 miles, 13 miles?
Right, yeah, I get on the stair climber. That it's easier. There's no shock impact on my knee, so I can do it there. On the bike, like I told you, bike. I do like about 50, 60 miles a day on my bike.
Wow.
Going all over. I go from 76 in Biscayne. I'll go to 15th Street, and I go over the bridge to Miami Beach, and then I come back over to Miami. So it's pretty good. Plus the training, the MMA Masters, they push you all day, so your cardio is going to be on point. If you see all the CFA MMA Master fighters, the cardio, we worry about cardio, If we're not going to go in there thinking that we're going to get tired. We know we're not. So that's what I like about them.
And the bike, you're actually doing something good for the environment as well.
Yeah, yeah. Hell yeah.
Which takes me to my next topic. Last time I spoke to you, you said you were turning more to the vegan side or vegetarian side.
Yeah.
Are you still working on that? Is it hard?
It's not hard. The red meat, I try to do it, twice a month now, and a lot of fish and greens. My wife's a vegetarian, so it's easy to do it. But yeah, it was kind of hard at the beginning because you didn't feel full. you know, when you're used to eating all these compact. So, but now it's gotten way better. It's great. It's I love it. You know, feel healthier too.
How about with your training? Do you feel stronger even though you're getting a lot of veggies, a lot of plant?
Right, because we're not full big vegan. We eat fish. That's the only, so it's good for the training. It doesn't affect. I haven't had it hasn't affected me like that. At the beginning, I will get a little weaker, but it's because I didn't, I was not used to it. But now it doesn't bother at all.
Do you find it better?
I think my cardio's gotten a little better. Because I don't get as tired as much, just because I don't have, I think, the chemicals and stuff inside the body. So, I can breathe better. My lungs are way better since I started, dieting like that.
So, do you also take as far as protein
yes.
shakes and stuff like that? They're all plant-based?
Yeah, plant-based. It's called Sun Warrior, the one that I use. It's a plant-based protein. It has nothing in it. No, it tastes like grass. You got to get used to the taste. They say it's chocolate or vanilla, but it's grass.
It's grass. It's grass. But
yeah.
you feel a lot better, and obviously it's easier for you when you have to make weight.
Yeah, the last fight was my first fight at middleweight, and I came 5 over because I didn't realize the last 2 days that I'm cutting weight, something was wrong with my scales. So it was giving me the wrong reading. But now this one, I guess they call me. He wants it to be a catch weight of 190. And I'm walking around right now at 200, so I'm fine. I'll be fine. And I'm not cutting drastically, like the GB. I walk around now at 205, so I've lost 5, so about 10 more pounds, and I'm good.
And you used to
great.
Fight a heavyweight. You
yeah,
used to be heavyweight. How
heavyweight.
Much were you weighing at one point?
245.
245. Wow. So you shed close to 60 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Almost. Yeah. Gradually, remember, I did my first three fights were heavyweight. Then I did light heavyweight 3, and now this will be my second one at middleweight.
And I remember you telling me that one you'd like to give welterweight a shot. I mean, is that still a go of yours?
Everybody told me because, I look slim, I told people, look, if I can stay under. One and under 200, maybe they'll give it a shot later on. Why not?
Would you find it challenging? I mean, that is a lot of weight cutting. And you're a big guy.
Yeah, but I will try to do it. I want to try after this fight. I want to walk around no heavier than 195. And with my diet and training, if I can get it like that, then I'll try it. But I'm not saying that I'm going to do that. I don't want to stress. I feel great at 185, so. I wouldn't want to change it if I didn't have to, but I will give it a try. I'm a guy that keeps his mind open.
Well, Oscar, May 24th, you're going to be on Access TV. How does it feel being now on national television?
Wow. When George gave me a call and told me that, I was the first national televised fight for CFA Hour. It's a little bit of pressure, but it's to me, it's good because I'm used to the cage, so, and I think it's my cage, so. Anybody who steps in there, they're coming into my house, and now more people get to see it. So I'm excited. I'm just excited to see it because I have friends that are going to watch it and stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Anyone in particular out of state that's going to be watching or that has contacted you and say, "Gosh, Oscar, I'm finally going to see you"? Because I know you were well known in the boxing world. You participated in the Golden Gloves and so forth.
Yeah, well, not so much. My family from out of the country, they were used to watch it on stream, Ustream. Now I don't know if they can watch it over there, but a lot of people that I know, my wife, she works at the Fountain Blue, so they're going to play it at the lobby bar on the TV. And, because they can't make it, so the managers are going to play it my night over there. So that'll be good. It'll be good. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Oscar, what can you promise fans May 24th? It's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, what I told, I always say, that don't blink, and I'm going to do what I do, baby. Yeah.
Oscar, man, always fun to talk to you. Always fun to talk to you, man. And I know
Thank
you're going to
you
bring
much,
it
man.
Come May 24th. And well,
That's
we'll see you
plan,
May 24th,
brother.
Man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. And tell your fans that when the voting starts, vote for me for Knockout of the Year. I want to get it this year.
Yeah, man. And you know, just look at the picture. The picture says it all. I love that picture where they have you throwing the right.
I'm walking away.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. The one like is like a speed. That's one of badass.
That is a cool picture. All right, Oscar. Well, thank you so very much, man. We'll talk to you then. Come May 24th. Good luck on the fight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you, Rodo. Thank you for having me always, man. Thank you.
Awesome, Oscar. Thank you so much. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too, brother. Bye-bye.
All righty. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Delgado, he fights now at Gordon at May 24th, CFA 11. You can get your tickets at CFAfights.com. And it will be live on Access TV. It's the first time the promotion will be on national television. That's CFA 11. We still got, ladies and gentlemen, Alexis Villa, Bellator veteran, who also fights on that CFA card. And Reggie Pena, who fights on XFC. And Mike Rio, who fights next weekend in Brazil. He's going into enemy territory. Love to hear how he is preparing for that mentally. Folks, we'll be right back with more on The Roman Show. Remember, follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show and at Roman DH. That's my personal one. Thanks so much. Hang on tight.
Con los terroristas.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
All right, we're back here after that short little break we had on The Roman Show. We still have lots of MMA news to talk about. I'm riding solo tonight, so hang tight. But we're going to reach out now to Alexis Villa, who fights on that card of CFA 11 May 24th. That lineup is packed, man. We interviewed Luis Papalomino at ATT yesterday. You got to check it out on the YoTube channel.
Hello.
Alexis, how are you, Alexis? Rodolfo Roman of the Roman Show, how are you?
Bien, bien.
Todo bien. Bueno, Alexis.
Todo bien.
Alex, ¿hacemos la entrevista en inglés o en español? Como tú te sientes bien.
Como quiera, whatever.
Okay, well, let's do it in English then, Alexis. So, Alexis Villa, he returns to action inside the cage at CFA 11, May 24th. He is fighting Sar Clavos. Alexis, going back to your last fight where you had the CFA flyweight title on the line, looking back at the fight, what did you learn from it, from that fight?
What I learned from that fight, I learned that not even until the end of the fight, I don't have to relax ni nada. I have to be all the time focused in the fight until the end.
Well, I do gotta take my hat off to you, Alexis, because I know it was a difficult time for you because you lost your father and you still fought. I don't know how you did it, Alexis. I really don't know how you did it.
You know, it's things that happen in life. I know that it's tough. You know, I know my father, everything, but it's life. You know.
When you were there, you felt his spirit there inside the cage, you know, giving you that motivation?
I think that I had everything that day, but in the end, I think that I lost a little bit the focus. I don't know. Something happened.
Well,
it wasn't my night,
fight.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is the only thing that I can say.
Well, May 24th is a new night, and it's a new challenge. What can you tell me about Sar that you're facing him this coming fight?
I don't even know. The kind of guy that I know Gorri who are going to fight. I fight whatever he want to fight me, I fight. You know, so I know Gorri, I know Luke Tate, Ninase. No matter what he plan to do it, he has to deal with me. This is the difference. I want to put in this fight more than what I did in the last fight. I think that even I lost, but I think I did pretty good.
Right, because in that fight, looking back, your wrestling is amazing. Do you feel that you should have used that more in that past fight, and that is what you're going to bring to this fight coming up, May 24?
Yeah, see, he keeps his stand-up. I can knock him out, but now people he going to see that it's not only that I've been working more, not only the takedown, you know, I've been working like the submission game now, the judicial game.
Gotcha. And now, going into this fight, Alexis, do you feel 100%? I know you had some knee, was it a shoulder injury, right? But you're good now?
Yeah. But this time, this is the thing that he was bothering me. But on my shoulder, he wasn't responding in the end of the fight either. But this time, my shoulder is 100%. I was doing everything in this time, so I'm ready. Not ready for this fight. I'm ready for everybody to be in 125.
How have you managed to strengthen that shoulder?
What?
How have you managed to strengthen the shoulder?
No entiendo bien esa pregunta.
O sea, ¿cómo has fortalecido el hombro que te estaba molestando?
First of all, the shoulder I supposed to fight after 1 year, but I was crazy for fight. I like fight, so my shoulder he was bothering me a little bit, but I still want to fight, so I never battled over fight. So, but now I feel my shoulder 100%. I can lift, I can do everything. It's amazing. Now I feel new.
And what did you have in that shoulder? What injury did you have?
Oh, I have the rotator cuff, two ligaments, and two cartilages. Wow. That's why I say that now it's new.
But you didn't get any surgery or anything like that. Have doctors recommended surgery?
No, I did my surgery.
Oh, okay. You did
the surgery. Sí, me empataron los ligamentos y me repararon los cartílagos, dos ligamentos y el rotator cuff.
Wow. So you said that
since the fight with Gabao in Bellator.
Oh, okay.
When I fight Danta, I was with this problem in the shoulder. And when I fight again in Bellator, the first fight with this other guy, I have this problem in the shoulder. I can't throw.
But you're a brand new man come May 24. You're stronger, you're better, you're faster.
Yeah.
And now, You're in your 40s and you look in phenomenal shape. But how many years do you think you'll keep fighting, Alexis?
I'm going to break all the wreck, the Randy Couture, everybody. I take care of myself. I have my mind in this sport. I want to be the champion. it's been little longer to be in the UFC. I want to be in the UFC. I want to be the UFC champion. So now with this injury, it's making me bad to like start over, you know? So now I want to prove that I belong in the UFC. I belong on the 125, the best 125.
And you will do so, Alexis, on May 24th. Well, Alexis, thank you so much for talking to us. I'm excited to see you again in the cage. You're a great fighter, and I know that you and Saar are going to bring it. Anything else you'd like to say?
Hey, I want to say thank you to all my sponsors, all my team, ATT Kenda, ATT Coconut Free, all these people that support me and always believe in me. To God.
Well, Alexis, thank you so very much. Good luck, May 24th, and we'll see you 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis. Have a good night. Gracias.
You
good night. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here Alexis Vila. He's ready to go. He is ready to go. And I'm a big fan of Alexis. I don't want to be too objective here, but I like watching him fight because the guy's in his 40s and he could whoop your butt like there's no tomorrow. Just proves to you guys that when it comes to fighting, when it comes to combat fighting, age is nothing but a number. If you see how fast this guy is, you will be there with your mouth closed. I personally have seen him train in front of me, and the way this guy moves, he's like a cat. And he's, I believe he's 42. I could be wrong. I know he's in his early 40s. But it's amazing how this guy moves so quickly on his feet. His transition in wrestling, phenomenal. I'll be honest, he moves a whole lot faster than I do. But to see this guy still in the cage and improving, and he wants to prove a point. Like you said, he wants to break a record. If this guy could be 100 years old, but he can still do it, he will do it. And he's that type of person. And that's Alexis Vila, who is a Olympic medalist. He actually competed in the Olympics in wrestling and represented his country of Cuba. And then he defected back in Atlanta. That was in 1996, that he was part of the Cuban Olympic team for Cuba, his home country. But the guy is just amazing. He's quick. He's fast. He's 42 years old. He actually turned 42 this year. Check both Delgado and Alexis live on Access TV May 24th. We're giving away free tickets for the show. If you live in Florida, all you have to do is like our fan page on Facebook. That's facebook.com/Roman Show Media or follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. We'll be right back after this short little break.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
If every day goes like this, how do we survive? We're working late on the night shift to get peace of mind. If every day goes like this,
And on the Roman Show, again, if you are thirsty and, well, granted the sun, don't settle for your average tasteless water. Grab yourself some Vita Coco full of nutrients, vitamins, and you'll feel a whole lot better. That's Vita Coco. Pick it up at your nearest grocery store. I know this is not in relation to MMA, but I had to point this out. Last night, during the Miami Heat game, a woman flipped off the bird to Joakim Noah. And this picture has gone viral. The woman, she is maybe late 50s, mid-50s. Shape for her age. Botox, I'm pretty sure. And who else was, whatever, who knows what else she has to her son. But the whole point about this thing is, Joakim Noah is walking into the locker room, and there she is. She sticks her hand, raises the middle finger right next to his face. So the picture has gone viral. They put out these tags, memes, what they're called. And they've been trying to identify the woman. So people are saying across the internet that, you know, it's not classy of South Floridians or Miami Heat fans to do it. It's tasteless. It's not a nice thing to do. Which, mind you, I think it was last year when the Bulls took on the Heat, they threw something at James or one of the players. I can't remember right now, but they were nasty too. The whole point is, they finally identified the woman. And boy, did they bring her back to light. You see, this woman who lives up north, or actually in South Florida, but up north of Miami-Dade County, in Broward County, I believe she lives in. This woman, with her name is Philomena Tobias. She is the widow of former CNBC commentator Seth Tobias. This guy, Tobias, passed away a few years ago, and she was actually considered a suspect in his death. They were accusing at one point, or alleging that this woman had killed his husband, had killed her husband. But it turned out that didn't turn out that way, and they ruled it out an accidental death. But look how much trouble they got this woman because of only flipping the bird to Joakim Noah. Incredible. And yes, the Tobias, actually the man who passed away, they said that he was known for a cocaine binge. It says here, according to this article, according to the brother actually of the man that died, it claimed that she had, this is what they were alleging, that she had drugged him and then lured him into the pool where he drowned. Now, a former assistant to Seth has told the police that Philomena confessed to him that she had cajoled her husband, who was on a cocaine binge, into the water, promising him sex with a male go-go dancer. But it turned out to be false, and police investigated the accusations for 5 months, and in the end found there was nothing criminal concerning the death of Seth. But flipping Joakim Noah on national TV will bring back some of this past that you had in your life. And if you go on Deadspin, we posted the information on our fan page. They eat this woman alive. They have cropped her. They have put her in the Colosseum of Rome with a finger. They put her in Alabama during segregation protests. Go to the fan page. You'll see what we're talking about. Just be careful what you do out there. You will get caught and be called out on the internet, made fun of. All right, guys, now we're going to speak to Reggie Penna, who fights Ricky Rainey in Tampa, Florida, June 24th at the XFC show. He is part of the co-main event of XFC 24. Reggie, welcome to the Roman Show.
How you doing?
All right, Reggie, thank you so much, man, for joining us here on the show. You are part of the co-main event, XFC 24. You're fighting in front of your home crowd, man. How does that feel, man?
Feels good, man. It's always good to fight in front of my hometown. You know, just get that that extra little crowd energy, you know.
And not only did you have the that background noise of the cheering and that motivation, but you're going into this fight with a 2-win streak by way of decision and TKO. How much dangerous? How much confident does it make you going in to this fight? Sorry, a 2-win streak by submission and decision.
Well, the streak really doesn't matter much to me, you know. I mean, every fight is different, you know. I take every fight seriously. You know, just I just focus on each and each opponent, you know, as they come. I have my heart set on Nikolai Curry. You know, that's really, you know, the fight I was looking forward to. You know, I put a lot of time in. You know, I've studied him. I'm ready for him. You know, I was ready to fight Curry, but you know, unfortunately, he got injured, and it's plan B. You know, now I got my eyes are set on Rick Rainey, so we're gonna make that happen.
Yeah, Nikolai Cora, I personally know him. He fights out here, known for his ground game. So you're looking more to test yourself when it came to the submission if you would have fought Curry?
I mean, I'm just confident in my game, you know. I feel that I had the tools to beat him. You know, I mean, there's a different kind of pressure that I bring. I mean, some people know about it. My training partners definitely know about it. Anyone who stepped inside the cage with me knows about it. You know, it's a relentless type of pressure, you know, and a lot of guys just aren't ready for it. And, you know, there's not many training partners who can mimic that. So I just feel like, you know, I could overwhelm him with my pressure. But, you know, that ship has sailed. You know, Nikolai Curry's hurt, so we'll have to put that on the back burner. I mean, you know, it's Rick Rainey now, so time to bring the fight to him.
Now, XFC now returns home, where you all started in Tampa. Do you see now that the XFC has gone on tour and it comes back to Tampa, more excitement coming to Tampa? So you know, we're finally getting MMA back. Because I know that XFC broke some records when they first had an event down there. It's the first time they sold out an arena for an MMA.
Oh, show. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, XFC, it's been a long time, you know, coming back to Tampa. It's always good. I mean, Tampa, you know, a lot of people down there just been asking me, you know, when are we going to see you fight locally? When are we going to see you fight locally? You know, and everyone's asking about the XFC. So now here's the chance, you know. So anyone who hasn't gone to see a XFC show live, here's the chance, man. It's an awesome show. You know, you definitely get a big bang for your buck. If you haven't had a chance to see, you know, Reggie the Regulator Pena fight live, you know, here's your chance. You know, co-main event, you know, buy a ticket. You know, beafantickets.com. Go ahead, you know, mark down the little checkbox, Reggie Pena. Come see me, come support me, show me the love, show the XFC the love. You know, it's you know, they're doing big things. You know, they're on the up and up, and you know, Access TV, you know, has been a great platform for us to showcase the talent that XFC is bringing out.
And speaking about this fight, it's a big fight card because you have Nick Newell in the main event and you're co-main eventing. So you're leading in that way to that big fight. Tell me about being named you and Rainey in the co-main event.
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm just excited to fight, you know. And, you know, I mean, my last fight was Salter. I was the main event. And, you know, now I'll be the co-main event on this fight, you know, but I'm more excited just to be home in Tampa, you know, just to be, you know, with my home crowd, let my friends and family, you know, come support me. You know, it's good to have the energy behind me, you know, so co-main event, main event, you know, it's all the same. It's just another day of the office.
Now, I know that you're, like I said, you're scared to fight Curry, but you have enough time to prepare for your opponent. Anything different you're going to do in this training compared to other fights?
Well, I mean, there's not so much anything that I'm going to do different. You know, I'm still training just as hard. Can't take anyone lightly. You know, Rick Rainey's a tough opponent. You know, he brings some different his range. You know, there's some different things to prepare for. You know, he's taller. He's got that. Well, they're about the same height, but he's got that range. He's longer. You know, he knows how to use the striking more. So, you know, gotta you know, focus more on that and pick him apart a little bit. And but I feel fine. You know, I feel confident in my skills. You know, like I'm no slouch on my feet. So, you know, it's gonna be some fireworks in Tampa.
Anything in particular that you've been, or someone you've been working in particular to simulate him?
No, I mean, just staying busy, you know, just staying busy, you know, keeping my cardio up. I'm out here, I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm training in altitude. I'm with the best camp in the world right now. I'm training with Greg Jackson's and Mean One MMA. You know, I'm splitting the time back and forth between both. So, I mean, I have the best training partners in the world. I mean, just, you know, this morning I was getting my face beat in by Joey Villasenor, you know. So, I mean, I'm sparring guys like that. I mean, so by the time, you know, I step in the XFC cage, I'll be good to go, man.
Tell me about the MMA community in Tampa. I know it's pretty potent, knowing that XFC started there, and there's a lot of camps up north up there in Florida.
Yeah, you definitely got some. You know, it's just growing more and more. You know, every year, a lot of camps are getting bigger and bigger. You know, there's a lot of great camps. You know, Champions MMA. You know, it's in Lakeland, just outside of Tampa. That's been my home, you know, do a lot of great things. Also, you got Rob Kahn, all those boys out there, Gracie South, Gracie Tampa. Man, those guys are awesome, you know. So, you know, just take, you know, Tampa's going to be put on the map pretty soon.
Absolutely. Well, Reggie, I want to thank you for taking some time. Anything else you'd like to add, man? You've got a Twitter account that people can follow you and they can keep up to date?
Yeah, you can follow me at Regulator MMA. And you know, also check out my Facebook. It's Reggie Pena. Just want to thank a few sponsors. I want to thank Jackson's MMA, Mean One MMA and Fitness, Champions MMA. Thank you, Chris Luttrell, Clear Sky Auto, Ruma, and Sir Daniel Kane. You know, for. So thank you, everyone who's been helping me out, and, you know, help me train and support me, you know, for this fight. I just hope to see everybody come on out in on June 14th, you know, XFC 24.
Just a few, less than a month and some days from now, you could catch Reggie Pena versus Rainey live on Access TV. But if you're in Florida, head out to Tampa. Official XFC, you can get some more information as far as ticket and so forth. Reggie, thanks so very much,
ticket,
man. Good luck.
Ticket,
we'll talk to you
ticket,
soon.
Ticket, beafan.com, www.beafan.com. Thank you.
That's where they could get it, beafan.com. That's where they could get tickets for the XFC 24 show. Awesome. Well, Reggie, thanks so much, dude, and good luck, and we'll hope to have you here on the show after you get that W.
All right, thanks, man.
Thank you, my man. Have a good night. There you go, folks. Reggie Pena, who fights Ricky Rainey in June at the XFC 24 show as XFC returns to Tampa. It's been some time since they've been out there, since they've been touring different states, Tennessee and Kentucky. But they're back home. They're back in Tampa, Florida. So make sure you check that out if you live around that area or if you live in Florida. We'll be right back after the small break. We'll be right back with Mike Rio, who fights next Saturday. His fight is actually airing on FX, so you can catch that live. We'll talk to him about going to enemy territory, Brazil, where he is fighting his opponent. Mind you, his opponent has only fought in Brazil, so that's extra pressure. We'll be right back.
This is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
At the Roman Show, that's it, our Twitter account. Make sure you follow us at the Roman Show. You can follow me personally at Roman DH. You can also like our fan page, Roman Show Media. Roman Show Media, we're giving away free tickets to the big show here in Coral Gables, Florida. That is CFA 11, May 24th. Not only will you watch it live in person, not only will you witness history, but you will be live on national television as the show will air on Access TV May 24th. Several of the fighters have gotten some media attention, especially Fallon Fox. We spoke earlier to Carla Sparza, and she gave her 2 cents as far as what she thought, her thoughts on Fox fighting on that card. Nonetheless, guys, also want to remind you, we will be interviewing Cain Velasquez this Sunday. Make sure you go to our YouTube channel, you subscribe. It'll be up this weekend. If you have a question for the champion, tweet it to us at The Roman Show. I got you covered. I'll ask it for you. And not only will I ask it for you, but I'll make sure to call out your tweet right on the air. People love that stuff. They love the interaction. So make sure you tweet it to us ASAP. Don't waste any time. I'm sure a lot of people are going to write it. And you could also write it on our fan page, again, Roman Show Media. If you happen to miss some of the interviews we had earlier today, such as Alexis Villa, Oscar Delgado, Reggie Pena, or Carlos Esparza, the Invicta FC strawweight champ. But don't worry about it, dude. We got you covered. You can follow us on our Stitcher Radio account. You know, you could download the Stitcher Radio account. Very easy to do. If you have your iPhone, just head on over to the App Store, download Stitcher Radio. You can hear us on iTunes. Very easy to do. Just go to iTunes, download the podcast application, and you can listen to us there. Or you can also listen to us on TuneIn Radio. That's for you Android folks. We're on there too. And, of course, you can listen to us on the computer. All you're going to do is just go to RodolphoRoman.com. We're always there. And we have a lengthy archive there. I mean, the amount of people we have interviewed here is ridiculous. So head on over to any of those channels and we'll hook you up. Remember to also like... not like, but subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can see a lot of interviews too. Want to read some news here before we bring in Mike Rio. So Fox Sports 1, they will launch in the summertime. And guess what, guys? Which actually the official date is August 17. And it launches at 8 a.m. But for all the MMA fans, boy, do they have you covered. Because you see, August 17 opens up with NASCAR coverage until 3:30 p.m. And when the coverage switches to UFC-related items for the next 7.5 hours. So you are going to get close to 8 hours of UFC programming on this new channel. Mind you, Fox Sports 1 is going to be somewhat similar to ESPN. But they're really banking on MMA. They really want to push MMA, and they wanted to get a lot of the ratings, a lot of the fans from MMA. So they're going to make sure to have a lot of MMA so you guys can watch it and bring in. You see, they want to be set aside from the ESPN, which does not give a whole lot of coverage to MMA. So don't worry, folks. They got you covered. Now, YouTube, I know we mentioned YouTube just a few seconds ago. And I've been seeing a lot of companies are doing this, including the WWE. UFC has announced that they will have pay-to-play channels, meaning It will feature access to full event replays, classic fights, and full episodes of UFC TV shows. Subscription is only $5.99, $6 per month, and is currently offering a 14-day free trial for the service. And all you have to do is go to youtube.com/UFC Select. Will you pay the $6 a month to watch UFC programming, past shows? Will you pay it? I'd like to hear from you. 714-868-0222 is the number. That's 714-868-0222. 714-868-0222. Or tweet your answer to @TheRomanShow. More information that we got going here on the show. Anderson Silva pulled the Nick Diaz. Didn't show up to a media day. So what does the UFC do? Slap him with a $50,000 fine. UFC middleweight champion Anderson Silva said he would have never flown to his home country of Brazil had he known he was due in LA for press obligations. That's what he says. This is after, again, the UFC charged him $50,000. He said, I've never missed any commitment to the UFC. However, he knows that ultimately training takes precedence over the public relations aspect of his job. And I quote him, everyone knows that I always block my media schedule to devote myself to training since that's the main priority. I'm an athlete and my focus will always be to train and be prepared for the challenges. Sorry, Silva, you still got slapped with the $15,000 fine there. Man, I don't think they'll be giving you a refund for that, buddy. It's a little different compared to Nick Diaz, you know, who said that he didn't get sleep or didn't do that. Some really lame excuses. But the UFC released some names, including Leonard Garcia and Bart Palazueski. Both these guys are no longer with the UFC. Garcia obviously had a pretty bad five fights. He lost them all, so it's only a matter of time. And in fact, he himself said, hey, you know what? I don't deserve to be there anymore. We spoke about Cain Velasquez. We're going to interview him this weekend. Well, Tyson Fury, a boxer who challenged him and to call him a midget. Well, Tyson Fury said he would compete once in the octagon to beat UFC heavyweight champ Cain Velasquez, then go back to boxing. He says he's definitely interested. This is what he told a UK-based tabloid, the Daily Star. And guess what? UFC president Dana White said, you know, we could put it together. You know, let's just talk, you know, well, actually, Fury says he wants to talk to him some money. But you see, Dana White challenged him. And then Dana White said, we'll make a deal. This is what he said this past month. And you want to fight Cain? Come on over here. You will get smashed. Again, Fury has called Cain a midget. And mind you, I've seen Cain Velasquez several times. The guy's not a midget. Sorry, Fury. I hope this fight does not happen. It will be a joke, especially for Cain Velasquez, a very respected UFC champion. That's not, please, Dana White, whatever you do. You got away with the whole Sonnen and Jones. Don't pull this off, please, Dana White. Speaking of Sonnen and Jones, and I know our good friend here, my co-host, Guillermo Garcia, said that the Jones and Sonnen fight was a joke. But guys, that pay-per-view is second so far this year. Preliminary estimates have UFC 159 drawing between 520,000 and 550,000 pay-per-view buys, putting it behind only the GSP versus Nick Diaz match for this year. So it did pretty well. You can't take anything away from that fight because it brought in the money. Chris Cyborg, yeah, people are saying you're scared of Ronda Rousey, but it wasn't the weight issue. As it was first thought, you know, he says, I'm not going to get to that weight. Well, Cyborg says she passed on chance to fight Rousey over money, not weight. Do you believe her? Well, EA Sports, at one point, they turned down the thought of doing a UFC fight when the UFC approached them. They ended up doing their own MMA game, and that didn't turn out the right way. They had Fedor Emelianenko, they had Randy Couture, and that was a bust. So they had a deal with the ESPN, and now they're working on a MMA video game. It was many of the pundits had it coming out this year. However, it's not. It's going to come out next year. So for all you guys who wanted to play MMA on your game consoles, EA Sports UFC game is not going to come out this year. You're going to have to wait till next year, 2014. Switching now to Bellator news. Bellator, obviously, you know, they're going to be starting their summer schedule. But this time around, they're not going to be airing on Thursday. They're going to be on Wednesdays. Now, the time slot there is different compared to their average days. However, that doesn't mean that they're going to go back to Thursday where TNA Impact Wrestling led them on. So it's only going to be a time of matter there as far as what day they are going to be on. Lastly, I want to finish off with this before we bring in Mike Rio. Last show, we had a debate as the gloves. How dangerous are they? We saw in the past UFC pay-per-view how many people were getting injured because of the finger, the eye poking. Well, it turns out that UFC President Dana White said during an appearance on an ESPN affiliate radio station in LA that they started to work on a new glove that actually curves your hand. He says, like the glove is curved like a U, so you can still open your hand, but your fingers don't point straight out. Now that we're going to get Mike Rio on the line, let's ask him his thoughts about the whole glove thing, because we've seen it several times, and we saw what happened to Belcher. The guy has had injuries already on his retina, so good thing he's all right, though. But those fingers could be very dangerous, especially when you're coming quickly. Mike, what's up, my man? Welcome to the Roman Show. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Awesome, Mike, man. Thanks so much for joining us on the show again as you're getting ready for your fight next Saturday in Brazil. First and foremost, Mike, you're getting into enemy territory as your opponent has only fought in Brazil. How are you coming into this fight, and have you done anything different coming in there knowing that these people, they're not going to be for you, Mike?
No, not really doing anything different, just training a little smarter. I kind of got lucky to the fact where, I mean, it kind of sucks that southpaws are really hard to fight because they're, you know, they're few and far between. But I got kind of lucky fighting a southpaw fight after fight. Just because John Kofor was a southpaw also. So I just continued the training and just got better and smarter at it. So that I got a little bit lucky on that. But actually going into the Lions Den, going into Brazil to fight a Brazilian, oh, man, that's going to be nuts. I'm going to be booed by the entire stadium.
Are you going to have some extra bodyguards or nothing or something like that? Because, boy, you're going into enemy territory, Mike.
I'm thinking about it. Nah, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I've already been preparing myself mentally, knowing the fact that I'm not going to get any love before the fight at all. There's going to be no love shown to me at all before the fight. But you know me, everybody who does know me, I completely 100% respect the sport and I respect my opponent. So I'll 100% be respectful to Francisco and the Brazilians in Brazil. So, and the fact of the matter is Brazil and the Brazilians are super, super fans. They love their martial arts. So the first thing they teach in martial arts is respect. So if I show it to them, they're 100% most likely going to show it back to me eventually after the fight, you know?
Yeah, and we're talking to Mike Rio, who fights next Saturday. Your fight will be airing on FX against Francisco Trinaldo. And you mentioned about the respect, and Brazilians are very respectful, and that's a main thing that mixed martial arts has. You know, after a fight, you shake hands, and you said, hey, good job. And knowing the fact that the crowd is more than likely going to be against you there, that respect always exists, Mike. It always exists no matter what.
Oh, no. I mean, don't get me wrong. Before the fight, I'm going to be, like, hated. But after the fight, when all the hoopla is over, then it's back to being normal. You know, I'm pretty sure the hatred's going to go down and my team's number one's going to go down. So win or lose, I know for a fact after the fight, everything's going to be all copacetic.
Now, when do you leave? When do you take off to Brazil?
I leave this Monday coming up, and I actually arrive in Brazil on Tuesday.
So you're training some of your training partners are there to train you. How is the workout schedule work when you're in a different country?
I don't know. I have no clue. I've only fought in a different country once, and that was like at the beginning of my career, and that's when I didn't know anything much about fighting. So I'm guessing, I mean, I'm going to Brazil. It's not going to be like the United States, so I know they're not going to have like an LA Fitness or like a Bally's or something like that. So but I'm pretty sure they're going to have like I'm going to be in like a tourist area, so they're going to have some type of spa where I have like my own workout room, and I'm going to have my own sauna. So the UFC knows what they're doing. They're going to have everything set up for us. It's just one thing I do like to do right after my weigh-ins is go to the Olive Garden. I really hope they have, like, an Olive Garden Brazilian branch.
There's some Italian people that have gone to Brazil. I'm sure they have some sort of Italian food there that you can enjoy. Absolutely, man. You're in good shape. Don't worry about it. Now, Francisco, tell me a little bit about Francisco. Both of you guys are coming off some victories. He just defeated CJ Keith, a submission. You yourself, you defeated your last opponent during a submission. Do you see this more a good challenge for you coming into your next fight here in the UFC, your second fight?
Oh, yeah. It's a really good challenge, but I feel like I'm in a better position because the fact of the matter, I haven't really fought somebody I haven't known in a long time. My last two fights were John Kofor, which I was on the show with, which me and him are great friends, and then the fight before that was Andy Ogle on the show, and me and him are great friends. So I kind of had to get over that hump of actually fighting and punching my friends in the face. I have no attachments to Francisco whatsoever. I didn't know who he was until they offered him to me. So, you know, I'm going to go in there, and you're going to see 100% the best of Mike Rio because I have no attachments to this guy, and I'm going to go after him I'm going to go after an enemy.
And now, what took you away from getting your debut was that knee injury. How is that knee now? Is it awesome? It's better than ever?
Oh, the knee.
But do you have
the knee back to normal. But the knee wasn't the big problem. Remember, on the show, I tore my knee out like the first or second week. And I'm in my fight with Andy Ogle. He broke two ribs with a solid knee to the ribs. So, and it wasn't like a torn ligament or stretched this or strained that. The bones were broken. So I had a torn knee and two broken ribs. So that kind of sidelined me for a while, and then now it's 100%. I've taken knees to the ribs right now, like recently, and my ribs are like 100%. So.
Now I've never had any broken ribs. Thank God for that. But I heard that broken ribs are horrible. You can't even laugh.
You can't. You should have asked the producers and the cameraman on the show. Dude, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't lay down. I couldn't do anything. I needed to be on painkillers and muscle relaxers just to even lay down in my bed.
Wow. And you lived through that the entire taping, well, almost the entire day, with that injury.
Yeah, pretty much the entire show I was injured. It sucked because I know for a fact I could have done a lot better. I didn't get to show who I was, the type of fighter I really was. I didn't get to show the type of competitor I really am. Because I was like sidelined pretty much the whole time. I was lame duck.
Incredible. Have you managed to see some of the show that you were on? Have you seen some episodes?
I only saw the one episode, the episode I fought, but I haven't really. My mom bought me the DVD. I have the DVD sitting at my house, and I really haven't seen anything. You know, I haven't brought myself to actually watch it yet. I don't know why. I just haven't brought myself to watch it. I don't want to see what they portray me as.
But yeah, eventually you'll see it one day.
Oh, eventually I'll see it one day when I'm old and gray.
You see it with the kids, why not?
Hey, you want to watch a video of your old man? That's exactly how it's going to be.
And they're probably doing, who knows what they'll probably be watching TV like on the wall or, you know, in the air. Who knows what they're going to be having back then. Hey, but Mike.
Dad?
Now, Mike, out of Florida, you're going to have some other fighters that are going to be going up there in Brazil representing Florida. Looking back and knowing that you are pretty much that name that comes out in the UFC when it comes to Miami fighters, and looking back when you started here, is there something you would have done different though when you were in Miami? A fight that you would have liked? Anyone particular here in Miami that you always wanted to fight but you never got a chance to fight?
Oh, like when I was fighting in the local circuit?
Correct.
Oh no, I did everything I wanted to do. I mean. there's always things I wish I would have taken back, but then those things I wish I would have taken back, I would have never, those things would have never happened, I would have never learned from. So you can never, I never really want to look back and like wish something never happened. You just got to learn from it, and it made me a better person, better fighter in the future today. Who knows? I might not have been on the track I am today if I would have changed one thing in the past. Butterfly effect, my friend.
Right. Now, yeah. You're still active in the community because you train a lot of local fighters here in the amateur level and professional. Because I saw you at the last CFA, you were cornering, I forgot his name right now, but it was one of the first guys that opened up the fight card.
Yeah, his name is Guillermo. We call him G.
Yeah,
G's
there you go,
good. G. G hasn't fought in 2 years. And this was his first fight in 2 years against a guy who's been actively fighting, who has like 10 wins in a row. So, you know, just for the fact that him going in there with somebody that as seasoned and as ready to go as that guy was, I'm proud of G. He went in there and did his thing. He just, you know, he just needs more ring time so to feel more comfortable in there.
So do you see yourself after your MMA career, whenever that you decide to retire, to pursue as a trainer, as a coach?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm coaching right now. Right now, my team, the team I train out of is Zen Jiu-Jitsu, and my coach is Enrico Coco. He coaches me, and he's a black belt in Taekwondo and a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu, and he coaches me in those two, and I coach him. I'm his wrestling coach, so we go back and forth. And then on top of that, we have our team underneath us. It's called the Zen Jiu-Jitsu Death Squad, and we train our guys, we have like 4 amateur fighters and like 3 pro fighters, and we're trying to build them up. The goal is to make these guys turn into the best fighters they can be and build them up to the point where I can probably get them on the Ultimate Fighter show, and then they can start their UFC career and they can live the rest of their lives and, you know, just, you know, be more than just, you know, helping myself out. I want to hand my hands off everything I've learned and everything I've learned throughout the years and hand it down to the guys who are under me, and hopefully I can change some lives and get kids off streets and turn them into, like, real fighters with good futures.
Now, knowing that you're a coach, and I remember interviewing a coach here once who was also a fighter, do you learn from your students some of your mistakes or some of the negatives you have in your fight game? And what are some of them? And has any of the students pointed out? And you kind of tell them, hey, what are you calling me out for, man? You're my student, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you can learn. I believe you can learn something from everybody. And first off, just automatically teaching, being a teacher, especially in the world of any type of sports or stuff like that, you got to show technique. And you don't realize what the technique entails until you start to teach it and you start to realize all the little things that you're not showing but have to be shown. So throughout the years, you just like sharpen the pencil to the point where it's razor sharp, and now you have a freaking sharp pencil that's never going to go dull because you've been teaching the same move over and over and over again. Plus, I have my guys, I've taught them everything I know. Coco's taught them everything they know. And of course, they're not going to go off and tell me, coach, you should try this crazy, outlandish, upside down, backward spinning move. No, they'll just be like, Mike, head down, hands up. Watch your stance. You're leaning your head too much. You know what I mean? You're not stepping to the outside. You know, when you throw your hook, step to the outside, like stuff like that. They're just like, they see little niches and they make me correct it every single time. So
that's
yes,
great.
I learned
now,
from my students a lot.
That is all. You're very humbled, which is a good thing to do, to have. Now, I know you were training with the Brazilians and you're training with ATT. I know you say you train with Zen Jiu-Jitsu over there, but are you also training with these guys, the Brazilians and American top teams?
Oh, no, I only did the Brazilians for like, because remember, I was injured for a long time and my ribs were getting better and they were pretty much good. Uh-huh. I was too afraid to push them. You know what I mean? I didn't want to accidentally be too early and they still be hurt or something like that. So I just, you know what? I'm going to start throwing myself in the deep end of the pool. So I went to the Brazilians and I started to work with them. And I worked with them for a month and a half. And with the Brazilians, you realize what kind of a fighter you are, because them guys are tough. Every practice is tough. And I figured out, I learned there that my ribs are 100%, because I got knees in the ribs and kicked in the ribs and punched in the ribs repeatedly. And my ribs were fine. So, you know, I trained with them for a little bit. You know, and I came back home. I don't train with the ATC no more because I'm not with my striking coach anymore. I switched over to Enrico Coco, and we've been doing everything together, and I feel like my striking has gotten, like, up teams I'm out better. So I'm glad. I'm happy where I'm at, doing what I'm doing.
Mike, is it difficult to decide, you know, what camp you're going to go to? Because I some guys, you know, they stay in their camp and they're loyal. Well, then you have some other guys who are switching around. But how do you finally decide, you know, I feel comfortable here, I feel good? Do you base it on your wins? Do you base it on some of the improvement that you felt?
It's a little bit off everything. Depending on what you're looking for. I'm looking for just improvement. I want to see improvement in myself. So, and I'm the biggest critic of myself, so I see everything people don't see. So if I feel like I'm improving at a higher rate, and, you know, just like everything's just starting to click the right way, that's where I like to stay. You know, some people want to be, I want to be tougher in my fights, and they're not worried about too much improvement. They just want to worry about cardio. So they'll go more to like a CrossFit gym or a gym that spars all the time, so they're real tough for their fights and stuff like that, you know? We spar a lot. I'm worried more about getting better as a fighter, working on my striking, getting better, working on my entries, working on my jiu-jitsu. So everywhere I'm at, I pretty much, when it comes to fight time, I get to choose what I want to do. But like, coach, today, this week, I want to work a lot of like live work, and then he'll run a curriculum the whole week on me working a lot more live, like beating me up and making me get tired and blowing my lungs out. And, coach, I'm kind of sore. Can we do more of a technical week? And, you know, he'll run a curriculum and, you know, technical, let's work the moves, let's work the combinations and stuff like that. So he listens to me, I listen to him, and we're feeding off each other big time.
Speaking of which, anything in particular you've been working more on this fight that you've been focusing on?
I can't tell you that. That'll be strategy into my fight.
That's like giving away the war, huh? Like the war strategy.
Yeah,
right? After Geraldo live on TV. You can't go too much detail, and I totally respect that, but anything in particular, it's like, you know what? I need a little bit of more oil here, you know? Let me loosen this up a little bit more.
I've said this before. I'm looking on amping it up, more horsepower in the car, and being less sloppy. That's pretty much exactly how I'm going to say it, and, you know, more horsepower and being a little bit less sloppy. So
there you go. You know, men, we have this thing that we could always talk about cars and we'll know what the heck we're talking about. It's just something we have. It's a gift that we have. When you talk about a girl and you bring in a car thing, you'll know what we're talking about. Women will never understand, but we do. We just have that connection, man. It's true. It always says, you know, you say, that girl has too much mileage. You know what we're talking about, you know?
Oh, heck yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. Well, Mike, so next Saturday, you got your fight. Are you going to be also at the CFA show at the 24th, or are you going to be cornering someone? Are you going to be coaching someone?
No, I don't think I have any fighters right now fighting in that. So if I do, no one told me because they wanted me to be focused for my fight. But I definitely will be there because I love going to the local shows. I love, you know, seeing the fights. I love meeting the fans and stuff like that. I just like doing that. I mean, a lot of people say, Mike, you should get paid for going. But I like being there. I like going to the fights. I like, you know, that's going out to me. I'm going to go have fun and see the fights and see some people get punched and kicked in the face and, you know, see the up-and-comers, because the up-and-comers, when I was in CFA or when I used to watch Fight Time, they were like amateurs, and now they're like little badass little fighters and stuff like that. So I like watching everybody get better.
And speaking of which, when you go and you think you enjoy it, it's a good night out. It's a little relaxation. You get a lot of people telling you, God, you know, we would love to see you fight one more time here in Miami.
Oh, yeah. I'm working on that.
All right. Hopefully we get that to happen.
I'm working on that. I've been talking to – I actually talked to John Anik today. I mean, yeah, was it today? Yeah, I think I talked to John Anik today. And, of course, when I see Dana White, I'm going to put little seeds in his head to bring another fight down here and put some locals on the card, because, you know, we have a bunch of local fighters now. Plus, as I mentioned, we got the South Florida with the Black Villains and the ATG Coconut Creek, and there's a lot of fighters down here now. All he's got to do is put a few locals on the card, and I guarantee that stadium will be sold out.
Yeah, and that was the problem when the UFC came in last time. There were no locals whatsoever.
That's why it's so bad. So if anybody's listening, tweet Dana White, at Dana White, I want to bring UFC to South Florida. Bring UFC to South Florida. Everybody right now, tweet them right now. Bring UFC to South Florida. Put Mike Rio on the card. Yeah, there you go.
We got to get UFC one more time, South Florida. Give us one more chance, Dana. One more chance.
Yes,
we'll
give
prove
us
you
one
wrong,
more
man.
Chance, Dana.
Yeah, we were telling him, you know, I had an opportunity of interviewing him afterwards. Dana, can you bring, I don't know, it's going to be a long time since you see us here, blah, 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 blah. And then people were complaining about the fact that there was no locals. He's like, well, it doesn't matter, the fight is good. And then people were saying, well, you know, nobody really knows these guys other than if you're a really true big MMA fan.
Yeah,
there was a whole
debate
and all of that stuff.
I understand what Dana White was doing. He wanted to see what kind of MMA fans we had down here, so he stuck a bunch of non-locals on the card to see how big of fans we are. But what he doesn't realize is that we're huge fans. It's just we really love our locals. We support our locals hardcore, like more than anything in the world. So if you put locals on the card, there will be fans there. If you put them on, they will come.
That's it. It's just like Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. Mike,
if you build it, they will come.
Mike, I want to thank you, man, for taking your time speaking to us. I want to wish you good luck. I'm always rooting for you there on TV. Don't make me nervous, dude. I don't want to bite my nails, man. But I want to wish you good luck next Saturday in Brazil. Once you get that victory, I'll drink some caipirinha. I know you'll get that W, man. We support you here down in South Florida.
All right, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. And if anybody wants to hit me up, my Twitter handle is MikeRoomMMA. I'll answer any question you guys want.
Mike, thanks so very much. Good luck, my man.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
There you go, folks. Mike Rio, who fights next Saturday, May 18th on FX. You can catch him live. Yeah, the action starts at 8 p.m. No, 7 p.m. I'll get you the actual time right now. But he fights against Francisco Trinaldo. Make sure you check out that fight next Saturday. MMA comes back to television. And the main event there will be Belfort versus Rockhold. So that's going to be an awesome card starting next Saturday, May 18th in Brazil. And that's Belfort, Rockhold, Sousa, Camossi, Teferino, Natal, Dunham versus Donanjos. And then on that Fuel TV. Oh, sorry, FX TV. Sorry about that. I got the wrong thing here. The FX, you'll be seeing Mike Rio. So make sure you find out there and check it out live for yourself. You won't be disappointed, guys. Mike Rio, nice guy. And you can see him live on TV. So make sure you follow him. All right, guys, with that being said, follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. And like our fan page, Roman Show Media. Again, we're giving away free tickets. Free tickets, guys. Free tickets to CFA 11. And Mike Rio will be fighting on Fuel TV. Sorry about that. Fuel TV against Francisco Trinaldo. And then the main card will be on FX. He is actually the second to last fight on the Fuel TV card, which will be topped off by Hakran Diaz versus Nick Lentz. And right underneath him, actually, is another South Floridian, Gleason Tebow. He fights John Cholish. We actually had an opportunity of seeing Gleason Tebow yesterday. Well, guys, thanks so very much for listening to our show. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Roman Show. If you have some questions for Cain Velasquez, write it to our Twitter account at The Roman Show or write it on our fan page. Roman Show Media. Good night, guys. Really appreciate all your listenership, and we'll catch you next week here on The Roman Show.
What's up? This is your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes upon that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This is your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.